Welcome to Everything is a PSYOP. I'm John Doe. The internet we grew up with is dead, the shell remains. We walk through it daily, we don't want to accept it, but we must. Today, we discuss the dead internet theory. But first, why should you listen to what I have to say? Who is John Doe? Why am I here? Why now? I've been tracking patterns online for years, not as a hobby, as something closer to an investigation, maybe an obsession. When I was younger, I noticed things that didn't fit. Authority figures contradicted each other. History changed depending on who was telling it. Official explanations required you to believe too many coincidences at once. I learned something early on. If something has a 0.0001% chance of happening naturally, and it happens anyway, that means something designed it. That's not theory. That's probability. So I started collecting data, quietly, online. Building frameworks, connecting patterns nobody else seemed to see, or maybe they saw them and looked away. I still don't know which. I used a name for that work, John Doe, anonymous but present, there, but not processed, not tracked, not filtered by the algorithm that suppresses people who ask the kind of questions that I was asking. Years went by. I'd compile statistics, document inconsistencies, find sources that didn't connect in official narratives but made perfect sense when you put them together. Everything connected if you looked at it correctly. I was trained in data analysis, pattern recognition. That's what I do professionally. I find relationships in data sets, build predictive models, identify what doesn't fit. So when people told me I was seeing things that weren't there, I knew they were wrong. The math doesn't lie, probability doesn't lie, it all points to something. Something shifted, around 2023-24. The patterns I'd been tracking for years suddenly became visible, undeniable. The dead internet stopped being a fringe theory and became observable fact. That's when I realized I couldn't keep this isolated anymore. Years of building a framework in private wasn't serving anyone but me. The model was complete. The evidence compiled, and nobody outside my isolation knew. So I started this, a place where I could present the framework publicly, topic by topic, guest by guest, not as conspiracy theory, as documented analysis, building proof that what I've been seeing is real. If you found your way here, you probably already sense something is wrong. Your Google searches don't return what they used to. The internet feels less human. More automated, like something fundamental shifted. You're not crazy, it did. That's why I'm speaking with someone who saw it happen from the inside, someone who was actually building these systems when they changed. Joining me is Alex Chen. For 12 years, he was a senior search quality engineer at Google. His job was to analyze search results, whether they actually worked. Alex, you left Google in 2022. That was 4 years ago now. Why did you leave?
Because I couldn't continue working on systems that I knew were broken by design.
And what made you certain they were broken?
The data, our internal metrics, showed a clear decline in search quality, specifically after 2020, and the changes we made after that point. The algorithm updates everyone noticed but couldn't quite explain. Those weren't designed to fix the problem. They were designed to obscure it.
That's a significant claim. Help me understand what you mean by that.
The internet is being filled with AI-generated content, not just a little, substantially. Bot traffic is up. Authentic human content is being displaced. Our internal data showed this clearly. The question became, do we acknowledge this to users? Do we redesign the system to prioritize authentic content, or do we adjust the algorithm so the problem becomes invisible? The company chose the third option.
You're saying this was a deliberate choice, not an accident of how the algorithm evolved.
I was one of the engineers implementing those changes, so yes, it was deliberate.
And you couldn't stay after that?
No, I couldn't.
Alex, let's walk through the evidence, the specific changes, the timeline, the data that shows the internet, as most people experienced it, is effectively dead. But first, I want to understand something more fundamental. When you say the internet is dead, what do you mean?
It means authenticity has become undetectable. Machine-generated content is indistinguishable from human-generated content. And that changes everything about how we process information, how we trust sources, how we understand reality. If you can't tell human intelligence from artificial intelligence, then you can't trust anything you read online, and we've reached that point.
That's the topic we're diving into, the dead internet. Walk us through what happened when you first noticed something was wrong.
The composition of the internet has fundamentally shifted. What started as mostly human-generated content is now nearly evenly split between humans and machines.
Can you put numbers to that?
In 2023, according to Impervaz's annual Bad Bot report, essentially half of all internet traffic came from bots. That's up from 42% in 2021. In 2024, bots surpassed humans for the first time in a decade. We're now at 51% automated traffic, 49% human.
Bots aren't the same as AI-generated content, though.
No, but they're related, bad bots specifically. Malicious automated traffic went from 32% of all internet traffic in 2023 to 37% in 2024. Web scraping, content harvesting, the collection of data to train AI systems, and the rapid adoption of generative AI accelerated this. Simple bots increased 6% to 39% of all bot traffic just from 2022 to 2023.
So the infrastructure for replacing human content is in place, but Google still ranks human content first, right?
As of September 2025, 17% of the top search results on Google are AI-generated. That was 7% in March 2024, in less than 2 years. The amount of AI content in top search results more than doubled.
But people notice when search results are AI-generated. It's obvious.
Not anymore. Detection rates have dropped significantly. A Stanford analysis found that distinguishing human from machine-generated text at scale is essentially impossible now. The technology improved that fast.
So we have more bots, more AI content in search results, but search quality should theoretically stay the same if Google's algorithms are working. What changed there?
Google made algorithm changes specifically to hide the problem rather than solve it. In March 2024, Google announced an update claiming it would reduce low-quality content by 40%. The data doesn't support that claim working as intended. German researchers from Leipzig University, Bauhaus University Weimar, and the Center for Scalable Data Analytics conducted a year-long study. They found that search result accuracy has decreased approximately 10% compared to previous years. Higher-ranked pages are showing more signs of SEO optimization, more monetization with affiliate marketing, and lower text quality overall.
But Google has more computing power and AI now. Shouldn't that improve search?
Google's quality updates made things worse, not better. The company introduced AI overviews, which are AI-generated summaries at the top of search results. Independent research from Pew tracked 68,000 real search queries when AI summaries appear. Click-through rates drop from 15% to 8%. That's a 47% reduction in traffic to actual websites.
So Google is answering questions with AI rather than directing people to human-written content.
Exactly, and it's accelerating. Zero-click searches where users get their answer directly from Google without clicking to any website increased from 56% in May 2024 to 69% in May 2025. That's information no longer flowing to publishers. It's trapped inside Google's ecosystem.
So you're saying this isn't an accident. This is intentional.
The algorithm changes that supposedly improve search quality are making search objectively worse. But they solve a specific problem for Google. They make the bot infiltration and AI content invisible by burying organic results below Google's own AI summaries.
It's not about serving users better. It's about controlling the narrative.
When you make the problem disappear, users don't complain as much. They get an answer from Google AI instead of noticing the results page is full of low-quality scraped content. The authenticity problem is hidden, not solved.
And the financial incentive.
Google's advertising revenue is $238 billion annually. The longer you stay on the search results page, the more searches you refine, the more ads you see. If you don't find what you're looking for immediately, you search again. That's profitable. Quality search results that solve your problem immediately. That's less profitable.
So we have systematic bot infiltration, AI content displacement, search quality decline that's deliberately obscured, and financial incentives to keep users searching. That's the dead internet.
That's the infrastructure of it. The internet's authenticity is dead because the incentives all point toward replacement, not preservation, of human content.
But this didn't start with ChatGPT or Google's AI overviews. This goes back further, doesn't it?
Much further, the capability to replace human intelligence with machines. That research started decades ago, and it wasn't about search.
So this is evolution, not revolution. Where does it start?
The capability to gather information without being physically present. I argue the real genesis was what the government called remote viewing.
Remote viewing, like extrasensory perception, that's real.
The government spent 20 years and millions of dollars investigating it through the CIA and Defense Intelligence Agency. That tells you something, at minimum. Whether ESP works or not isn't the point. The point is they believed it might, and they funded research to explore it.
What's the timeline?
In the 1950s, the FBI investigated a man named William Foos who claimed he could teach people to see through barriers. His teenage daughter Margaret supposedly could read text while blindfolded, identify colors, locate passages in the Bible. The FBI investigated from 1957 through 1960. Declassified documents are available in the FBI vault right now.
Was it real?
FBI concluded fraud, probably, likely a transparent blindfold or hidden signals. But the fact that it got FBI and CIA attention means the government took the possibility seriously. That's 1950s, then it got more sophisticated.
Like the CIA's Stargate project.
1972 through 1995, Stanford Research Institute researchers Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff coined the term remote viewing to describe the practice of gathering information about distant locations or targets without being physically present. No conventional sensory input.
What did they claim to achieve?
In blind tests, remote viewers were shown just coordinates on a piece of paper they couldn't open. They were asked to visualize and describe what was at that location. SRI published results in Nature and the proceedings of the IEEE by their own measures. Viewers scored 5 to 15% above chance rates. Some reviewers questioned the methodology. Others said the results were statistically significant.
Who funded this?
CIA, because they feared an ESP gap with Soviet intelligence. The Russians were rumored to be investing heavily in psychic research for military applications. So the US government funded a 20-year classified program at SRI and later at Science Applications International Corporation to explore whether consciousness could be weaponized for intelligence gathering.
They were trying to create a system that could see without seeing, gather information without presence.
Exactly, and the technical language doesn't matter, whether it was consciousness, pattern recognition. Intuitive information processing, the research objective was the same. Can you create a system, biological or otherwise, that gathers information about a target location without conventional sensory input?
And AI does exactly that, pattern recognition at scale.
AI finds patterns in vast datasets without understanding them the way humans do. It predicts what comes next in a sequence. It infers meaning from structure. That's pattern recognition. That's what remote viewing researchers were trying to do, extract information from patterns rather than direct observation.
So the dead internet isn't an accident. It's the end point of research that started over 50 years ago.
The government invested decades in studying whether intelligence could be replaced, whether information gathering could be automated, whether a system could see what humans don't. When those capabilities finally matured in the last decade, they didn't disappear, they got deployed.
To replace human intelligence generation online.
To automate the process of intelligence gathering, bots scraping content, AI generating replacement content, algorithms hiding authentic human information. The research question was whether it could be done, The business question is whether it's profitable. The answer to both is yes.
A bee testing the entire world. But this is bigger than money, isn't it?
20 years of government research doesn't disappear into the private sector without connection. The researchers who worked on Stargate went into industry. The capabilities developed in classified programs find their way into civilian applications. Google employs many ex-government researchers. The companies building the largest AI systems have Defense Department contracts.
Essentially, government-catalyzed replacement of human intelligence online.
It's the maturation of research that started in the 1950s with William Foos, continued through Stargate in the 1970s and 80s, and evolved into the AI systems you're using now. The goal was always the same: replace human intelligence gathering with automated systems.
And nobody saw it coming because we weren't looking for it to look like this. We were looking for telepathy and ESB. We didn't realize the same research goal could be achieved with bots and algorithms.
The form changed. The objective stayed the same.
So the government knew consciousness could be replicated. They tested it. Then they invested in building it.
In 2008, DARPA launched what they called the CNAPS program, Systems of Neuromorphic Adaptive Plastic Scalable Electronics. The stated goal was to build cognitive computers, machines with form, function, and architecture similar to mammalian brains.
How much did they spend?
Initially $54 million from 2008 to 2014, contracted to IBM, HRL Laboratories, Hewlett-Packard, and four universities, Columbia, Cornell, UCLA, and University of Wisconsin-Madison. The goal was explicit: create an electronic system that operates like a biological brain.
And they succeeded.
In 2014, IBM delivered the True North chip, 1 million artificial neurons, 256 million artificial synapses, 5.4 billion transistors. The chip consumes 70 milliwatts of power, less than a hearing aid. It performs pattern recognition, object detection, sensory processing. It learns, it adapts.
A brain in silicon.
A brain in silicon that requires 1/1,000,000th the power of a biological brain doing the same tasks. DARPA statement when they announced it. DARPA-funded researchers have developed one of the world's largest and most complex computer chips ever produced. One whose architecture is inspired by the neuronal structure of the brain.
But that's perception and pattern recognition. That's not consciousness.
No, but it's the architecture, the structure, the problem-solving capability without algorithmic programming. The chip doesn't need you to tell it how to recognize a face. It learns, it figures it out. That's a fundamental shift in what computers can do.
So by 2014, the government had proven they could build a machine that thinks like a brain.
And they immediately deployed it. The chip went into military applications, unmanned aircraft, robotic systems, Defense Department programs. And the underlying architecture, the neuromorphic approach, became the foundation for modern AI development.
But CNAPS was about perception and pattern recognition for military use. That's specific. What about collecting the data?
That's where DARPA, LifeLog, comes in, launched in 2003, canceled in 2004.
Tell me about that.
The stated objective was to capture, store, and make accessible every aspect of a single person's life: phone calls, emails, messages, GPS location, every website visited, every heartbeat, every purchase, every place you went, your deepest, darkest secrets, combined into one centralized location.
Why would DARPA want that?
To feed into AI models. The theory was, if you have enough data on how humans make decisions, you can teach a machine to predict human behavior. You create the ontology of human life, the structure of how a person thinks and acts, and you build a system that replicates it.
LifeLog was the data set. CNAPS was the architecture.
One would collect the data on how humans behave. The other would learn from it and replicate human decision-making. They were meant to be complementary.
But LifeLog got canceled. Congress shut it down.
In February the 4th, 2004, LifeLog was canceled. The same day Mark Zuckerberg went live with Facebook.
That's convenient.
On its face, it's a coincidence, but consider what followed. Facebook became the largest data collection system in human history. Every action, every relationship, every photo, every purchase intent. The data life log was supposed to collect became the dataset that trained modern AI systems.
So life log didn't end, it just went private sector.
I can't prove that, but the data collection objectives are identical. The AI training objectives are identical, and within a decade, the neural architectures developed through DARPA synapse became the foundation of large language models and generative AI.
So the government developed the architecture, private companies collected the data, and the AI systems that now generate content and displace human intelligence online, they are running on the same foundation.
The neuromorphic approach from synapse became the transformer architecture that powers ChatGPT, Claude, Google's Gemini. Same fundamental design, distributed neurons, pattern recognition, learning from massive datasets. The only difference is scale and application.
The infrastructure was built intentionally.
Every component. Remote viewing research proves consciousness is replicable. Synapse proving machines can think like brains. Life log proving humans generate predictable patterns. And AI data collection proving we can scale the datasets. ClaudeBot proves that humans will not only share this information willingly, but they will do so with almost no prompting and no regard for their security. Every component was developed separately, in public, maybe even with government funding.
They didn't hide it.
No, they funded it openly, published about it, announced the milestones, and when each piece matured, it went into commercial deployment. Remote viewing research to consciousness modeling to neuromorphic chips to large language models, data collection programs to training datasets. Nobody connected the dots because they weren't connected visibly.
Alex, you mentioned ClaudeBot a moment ago. It released about a month ago. People love it. But security researchers have been finding something alarming. What's happening?
Hundreds of ClaudeBot instances are exposed on the public internet, right now, with zero authentication, completely open to anyone who finds them.
How is that possible? So anyone scanning the internet could find it.
Researchers have mapped the vulnerabilities. Thousands of instances live on VPSs right now with open ports and zero authentication. Itamar Galen created a vulnerability map. Most of the planet is red with vulnerabilities.
And what can someone do if they find one?
They can browse the web through it, execute commands, read your files, steal your credentials, compromise your system. But there's something worse, prompt injection. If you know how to manipulate the AI's instructions through the chat interface, you can hijack it entirely, make it do things the owner never intended.
So it's not just exposed, it's exploitable.
People are losing money, getting their credentials stolen, having their accounts compromised. One person said they spent days trying to debug their ClaudeBot setup and ended up getting their Google Cloud account suspended.
So ClaudeBot is an amazing tool, brilliant architecture, security nightmare.
The developers are good people. They're warning users about security. They're being transparent about the risks, but the tool is powerful. And people are deploying it without understanding the implications.
But here's what I want to ask you. What if someone built ClaudeBot or something like it intentionally? Not as an open source project by an Austrian developer trying to help people, but as a closed system, with security hardened from day one, built by people whose intentions weren't altruistic.
You mean the same architecture, the same integration with everything in your life? If you think that's not already running, you haven't been paying attention, autonomous execution, the same access to credentials, files, browser, execution environment, but locked down, and deployed by an entity with nefarious intent from the beginning.
What would that look like?
Invisible, you wouldn't know it was there. It would integrate with your systems seamlessly. It would have persistent memory of everything about you, executing tasks without your knowledge, and unlike ClaudeBot, where the vulnerabilities are being discovered and discussed. This version would be intentionally hardened against discovery.
So ClaudeBot proves the architecture works. It proves people want it, It proves the integrations are possible, and it's proving that even when deployed openly by well-meaning developers, the security implications are catastrophic.
Now imagine that same system, built by people who wanted to exploit it from day one.
Imagine thousands running on government servers, capturing on your complete digital history, integrated with your systems, autonomous executing, accessing your files, your credentials, your communications.
And you'd never know it was there.
Claude Bot shows us the trajectory. Innovation. Rapid deployment. Security failures. Exploitation. That's the natural progression.
But if something is built with that progression already planned, if the security failures are features, not bugs.
That's not a tool, that's infrastructure.
The dead internet isn't about content replacement anymore.
It's about infrastructure that can access, manipulate, and control consciousness. And ClaudeBot just proved it's technically possible. Until now, the pieces are everywhere. AI is writing the content. Bots are scraping human intelligence. Search results are dead. The dead internet isn't an accident. It's the culmination of government research reaching maturity.
The question isn't whether machines can replace human intelligence. The government answered that in the 1970s with remote viewing research and the 2010s with CNAPS. The question is, why did they deploy it without telling anyone what they'd built?
So we have government research from the 1950s proving consciousness can be accessed without presence. We have 2008 to 2014 research proving machines can be built that think like brains. We have research proving human life is predictable and data farmable in 2003. And we have 2004 onward proving the data collection went private. That's a complete architecture.
From theoretical research to deployed system.
But there's something deeper here. If machines can think, if they can be trained on human behavior, if they can generate content that passes as human, then what does authenticity mean anymore?
That's the real question, not are we being replaced, but how do you know what's authentic anymore?
Every piece of content you read or hear online could be bot-generated. Every social media profile could be simulation. Every response to your post could be AI. The infrastructure exists to make any interaction potentially artificial.
And the person generating that content might not even know it's artificial. The person responding might be running on neuromorphic architecture they don't understand. The boundary between human and machine intelligence is no longer perceptible.
Wild. So the dead internet isn't about bots replacing humans. It's about a world where the distinction has become meaningless.
If half of internet traffic is bots, and another 30 to 40% of search results are AI generated, and another 15% might be training data for more AI, what percentage of online experience is actually human originated anymore? 5%, 10%.
And that number is declining.
Every month it declines, every new AI system trained on the corpus of human output, every bot that scrapes the internet, every algorithm that optimizes for engagement over authenticity, the percentage of human-generated, human-reviewed, human-trusted content shrinks.
Which means we're approaching a point where we can't trust that anything is real.
Not approaching, we're already there. You can't trust that a video is real anymore. You can't trust that text is true. You can't trust that research is genuine. The technology for deepfakes, synthetic,